Are we live?
We are.
Oh, sweet. Thank you, Eve. Welcome back to Transpotting. I am your co-host and executive producer, Riv or River, dealer's choice. We've got a couple other co-hosts with us here. Eve, how are you doing?
I'm being harassed by my cat. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Jess, how are you doing?
I'm doing.
Oh, doing. We're doing up in here. It's we're great. Yes. Introductions complete, like professionals.
That was so smooth.
It was so smooth. I'm so proud of us.
The smoothest.
Yeah. Speaking of smooth, we are 10 minutes late to airing because I am a diva. Exhibit A.
But you look great.
Thank you. Thank you. Just me on Discord being like, just 5 minutes. Just five. I'm almost done. I'm going to be there soon. I promise.
You've had all day, River. Come on. Get with it. Chop, chop.
I fell asleep for a long time. My partner may have been involved with this. It was a whole thing. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, I woke up way too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've got my coffee, my second cup of coffee with me today.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh, wow. What a fabulous mug that is.
Thank you. You like that? Oh. Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Etsy. Yeah, I could custom stuff off Etsy. Give independent creators money. It's great.
Yes.
If you can, be careful with Etsy these days, though.
Lot of Chinese market spam in there. A lot of it.
Mm. Oh, boy. So before we get into this episode, disclaimer for those watching, listening, it's going to be political. It's going to be about current events. Today? Yeah, we're gonna get super political because our existence is political, and the very real discrimination happening is you gotta talk about it. We gotta talk about what we still can, right? So that's why we're here. It's gonna be another episode. So just buckle up for that. I'm assuming.
I even have a proposal.
What's your proposal?
Just to throw a little light at the end of our dark and heavy tunnel. Because definitely got to be real with the shit. But I think we should toward the end, maybe have a little bit of okay, what are we going to do? How are we each going to approach, maybe a little self-care roundout. We always do the self-care roundout anyway, but we got to do it today because it is the Hevisode.
I've already started.
Look at you.
Yeah, there you go.
Right here.
Lower that blood pressure with that kitty cat.
He decides. He decides what goes on. He makes the schedule.
I'm just posting on all the websites that we're live, so don't mind me. Blisky, what's up? We're live.
So yeah, we decided to do this after the news partway through the week, and then there was more news.
Yeah,
I would think it would be fair to say that then there was more news later in between deciding to do the show and doing the show. So now it's an even heavier episode.
Heavisoder. No, that doesn't make sense. We're gonna have to workshop that. Yeah, I don't know.
I had a coworker I used to work with before he retired in 2022. And for all of Trump's first term, our morning introduction to each other instead of good morning was, so what happened today? We had no reason. There was no topic. It was just guaranteed there was something that happened.
There was always something.
You don't have to try. Just there.
There's always something.
Waiting.
Watching. Training. In a cave. Lurking.
How dare it?
I don't know. Hey, hi to all the people in chat. Hello. We've got a bunch of waves going on here.
Who do we got?
What's up?
We got Aoife. We got Bree. We got Ash.
Got folks trickling in. Yeah. Just posted on the internet. So we'll get some more folks soon, I'm sure.
Hello.
We got the usual suspects. Boy. So if one thing could be said about this past week is that there was no lack of news to be had.
No.
Yeah.
Question is, where does one start?
I think we should start. Okay. Well, do we start with the hottest topic? Because this is going to come out a couple weeks from now, right? For everyone, to the public. Or do we talk about the one that happened first, chronologically?
I don't even know what that is anymore, to be honest with you. The days just blend together with it. Like, you start looking into one topic, and all of a sudden, oh, here's another one. Crap.
Yeah. Jess, do you have one you are particularly motivated to jump into?
Think that we might as well start just chronologically. And it's a good point about, like, when this will come out, you know? So just for, like, for anybody who's, like, I'll give a second for, like, the people in the future. I'll talk to the future people for a second. If you are listening to this in the future, we are recording on a Sunday evening. And was it Wednesday that the news dropped?
I think it was Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been, like, 5 days, 4 days, something like that, whatever, since I think Aaron Reed broke this, not the initial story. I don't remember who broke the initial story of the bill passing the legislature, but the story of the letters going out to the driver's license holders in Kansas. That
SB 244.
Yes.
SB 244. Thank you, Eve.
I have a huge notes file because I spent 5 hours yesterday going down a rabbit hole to Kansas law on this one topic.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Way too much. I know way too much more than I want to know about it.
Well, that benefits us. So thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Your extracurricular homework, I guess.
Just thank you. Hyper-focused. Just kicked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta know more.
So what we know now, what we didn't know quite initially, but what it seems like we know now from some reporting that came out, I think on like Friday, was that the Department of Motor Vehicles of Kansas, or maybe they're called a slightly different department in Kansas, but anyway, basically the DMV of Kansas, sent letters to about 300 driver's license holders in Kansas and told them that their licenses were no longer valid because of SB 244 and that they had to come in and get them changed immediately, get the gender marker changed back to their sex assigned at birth. Just kind of bring, I know everybody knows this who's listening to this.
It goes deeper because it also impacts birth certificates.
It also impacts birth certificates. And I was just reading, I was just trying to catch up. Although Eve, I certainly think that you have done way more research than me on this, but, What I just read was that there's a estimated 1,800 people who've changed their birth certificate, who this will also affect, but we haven't seen the same kind of action from, you know, like no letters or whatever yet about that.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And yeah. I know there's like, I know, Eve, I'm sure you're going to fill in even more, but the other thing that, you know, is significant to mention that I think the part about them sending the letters and invalidating the licenses is a, it's a new affront. Mm-hmm. This is a thing that we have not seen before. This is them pushing the limits of what they can do.
They're evolving their cruelty and
like testing the boundaries and all of that. Like this is them
and the legal systems
the judicial systems, like so many of those things. Like that's what this is, and we've seen this happen before in a lot of other laws, but the you know, just saying that people can't change their gender marker anymore, there have been other states that have done that already. But this is definitely like above and beyond the first kind of way more aggressive, like, okay, now we're going to invalidate them and we're going to do it in a way that is incredibly punitive and actually like even more than punitive is like actually like kind of just criminalizes trans people. Like all of a sudden, like tomorrow, your license is not valid.
Yeah. Tomorrow, if you drive, you will be arrested and you will
If you drive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're risking arrest.
You're trying to criminalize something normal that every person does, including trans people.
Yeah. Sorry. Yep.
Sorry. Yeah. I think it'll sound cool actually in the mashup after this.
But. All of that.
Yeah.
So that's a really big deal and definitely worth, I know that that's what a lot of people have been focusing on because that's a super huge deal that they did that and very harmful to Kansans in real time. Like the harm has already started there. And there's a lot of like psychological harm in addition to that, in Kansas and beyond, obviously. But also, I just want to like note before we even dig into anything else, is that there's it is also a bathroom bill, and there's also a I actually have a question for Eve, because since you I think know more than me on this, I had heard that there was a bounty system,
yep.
but then I also just read from an NPR article that that you can also be sued privately. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a couple things going on here. As a general summation, you got most of it basically correct. It is initially a bathroom bill. You have to use the bill to your gender assigned at birth. What they not so cleverly did is they have in the Kansas statutes, what was the statute? I actually have the statute numbers. It's not just 244. They link it over to a supplemental statute, 77-207. They redefine what woman, girl, and boy, man mean. And they're basically saying that male, man, same thing. Woman, female are identical. They are the same thing. So that's how they're able to just do their stupid stuff that they're doing with this at birth nonsense. They're trying to play those games. First and foremost, yes, it does limit access to bathrooms in sex-separated facilities, in government facilities and municipalities foremost. It does not actually impact your general day-to-day businesses. So the mom and pops, your CVS, all those places, they aren't technically covered under that law. But there's a way around that, which is where it gets ugly. This is also the first bill in the country that has actual criminal penalties for the bathroom stuff. Most of the times, it's just kind of a harassment type thing. This one actually has criminal statutes. It's the first one to do it. And it does also change the rules as they apply to government IDs for trans people. It prohibits transgender folks from updating their driver's license to reflect their gender. And it invalidates the existing ones that they had, as well as their birth certificates if they were issued in Kansas. Funny about the birth certificate part, they say in their statute, issued prior to July 1st, 2026 are invalid. A clever lawyer could say, well, if I got my change on January 2nd, 2026, it's valid because you stupidly put a date that points backwards, not forward. So keep that in mind if you're in Kansas. There might be a way to cleverly get around that. The actual penalties that they did put in place. So yes, day one, it is your license is de facto invalid. So not only can you not drive your vehicle, that technically could screw you up. If you're trying to apply for a mortgage, something with your bank. There's a lot of knock-on effects that you can have without having that ID, because we use that for everything. Go ahead, Ray.
I was gonna say you can't buy alcohol. Nope. Can't. Yeah. So I mean, like, you can't even drink your problems away at that point.
Technically impacts your right to vote, because Kansas does require ID at the polls. This would work gloriously in tandem with the SAVE Act, which, side note, is most likely not going to pass because they don't seem to have the numbers for the votes, which is a good thing. Different story, though. Different discussion. The actual penalties that they did put in place for this is if you're caught. So first offense, it's $100 fine, no jail time. That got removed from their statute in 2023. So there's that at least. It is it's considered a Class B non-person misdemeanor. I don't know what that means as a non-person when you're a person. It's a legal thing. Second offense, it's a Class A, and that's 5 days in jail. I couldn't find any monetary stipulation, but I presume there is one. And then if it happens a third time, it's 90 days in jail with a $1,500 fine. So that's what happens if you get caught driving. The real nasty part is the actual, what the bounty hunter portion of the bill is. Effectively, what happens is, and we'll just lay out the basic scenario here. This could happen to a cis person or a trans person. The whole point now is that Kansans are going to go around going cis, 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 trans, cis, 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 trans. Basically, we're going to look for people now. Walk into a bathroom, you're doing your thing. Someone follows you in and they go, I think you're trans. You can't be here. They call the police. That gets all sorted as it typically would in any one of these situations, as we've seen laid out hundreds of times. Here's where the gross part gets in. And this is the part of the bill that could affect your mom and pop non-government type places. If you are the person who called the police, especially if they are trans, you can sue them for damages of up to $1,000 at a minimum, I think. It's going to be min or max. At least $1,000 in damages. You could claim mental distress or I didn't feel safe. You can use any nebulous one of these things that isn't really that quantifiable in that instance. It could be completely behavioralist. They just felt that way. This is going to impact any person. And that's where I think they're trying to be clever with this law by saying, oh, well, maybe you should comply with what the law says, you know, CVS, and make sure your bathrooms are patrolled. You know, however they go about that craziness. But that's where it comes in. You could just do something as basic as I felt threatened or it caused me PTSD and now you're going to get sued. And if you happen to be the trans person in this situation who got caught, you are financially liable for that payment. There is no government fund that covers that. You pay it. Pretty gross.
Pretty fucking gross. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for covering all those points.
Just one thing to add on real quick. Obviously, this is going to get challenged in the courts. I'm pretty sure it will, both in the Kansas courts and maybe the Supreme Court. Yeah. We never know where that's going to go until it gets there. One of the quotes I pulled from DavisVanguard.org was, the Kansas Supreme Court has previously ruled against efforts to restrict changes to gender markers on state identification documents. There is precedence for it to potentially be fought back against, but won't know until it actually happens.
Yeah, do you know the ACLU has already taken steps to fight the good fight. So, hey, out there, if you can, donate to the ACLU. They're our front line right now for a lot of these legal battles.
And really, for me, what was messed up is I got into reading the actual statute. It was like a page 6 of the document. In a lot of legal documents, they will have a section that will outline or define what terms are. What does it mean to be a municipality? What does it mean gender? Like, they define out a lot of these terms. And what's really interesting is in the statute is in one of their previous revisions, they actually listed gender means the psychological, behavioral, social, and cultural aspect of being male or female. And a little bit further down, they define sex as the biological identification of male and female in the context of reproductive potential or capacity, including sex chromosomes, naturally occurring sex hormones, gonads, and non-ambiguous internal and external genitalia presence at birth, without regard to an individual's psychological, chosen, or subjective experience of gender. But they crossed it out. The definition they put for gender and that last sentence of the definition of sex, they crossed it out so they could substitute their own from that other statute I mentioned before. So in their own statute, they had to lie. They have to say, yeah, we're going to change this so it suits our needs. As they say, the call is coming from inside the house.
Every time.
You put it in your own document. Now, I don't know if a lawyer could use that as ammunition in court to say, see, you did put it in here. You just crossed it out. I don't know if that would work. I don't know. But it's in there. They did it.
Yeah. First of all, like, shout out to the ACLU for being right on top of it. They really are. I know I don't quite have the most favorable opinion anymore, or like feel quite so positive all around about like all of the national orgs, especially as a trans person. Yeah. All of the like really big ones, you know. Well, I won't get into names, but the ACLU is very consistent and amazing with all of the legal defense that they put forth all of the time for the trans community and the queer community. I feel like my kind of quick take on this, not in any way from a polished legal perspective, but just like from my own, you know, what I've seen happen before, is like, I'm wondering if a lot of this is they wrote it in a shitty way also and just kind of slapped it through, because really the point is they're just trying to see what's going to stick to the wall. And they do not really have the intention of having this be law. It's the whole game of, we're going to do this thing that actually is clearly unconstitutional and will get struck down. However, in the process of that, what we will learn is what we might be able to get away with. And we will like end up basically pushing that, you know, pushing the Overton window and pushing that, like, you know, pushing what people think is acceptable, because you know, you'll end up getting sometimes, and I've heard this happen sometimes with like even listening to Supreme Court arguments. I feel like this was part of, I can't really get into the specifics of, I can't like recall it all right now, but I remember this happening around when I was living in California and Proposition 8 happened, like way the fuck back in like 2010 or whatever, that they were like, it was they were throwing something up that they knew was going to get struck down, but it didn't matter because they were just trying to push. And then other states were going to push also because they were going to see what they got away with. And what I've seen happen in Supreme Court arguments, even in the past like year or so listening to some of the big trans cases, is that you will hear some of the conservative justices basically tell the lawyers, they pretty much will say, like, you can't really do, like, this seems like this would be too much, but like this, you know, like maybe if we, you know, especially like, I feel like one of the last ones was when they were talking about like whether trans people are a protected class or not. And basically whether there are enough of us to be a protected class and what kind of protected class. And again, I can't get into all the legalese of like the different classes, but I just, you know, am kind of aware of like how a lot of this testing goes is that it's really not, you know, it's such a bluff anyway, because it's really, they're really not actually trying. Ultimately, it's a lot of harm and a lot of scare tactics, but it also is just strategy in that sense of like, we're going to do too much deliberately to be able to figure out what we will be able to get away with next, pretty much, you know.
Oh, you're muted, Eve.
Oops. Just a mirror off of that. One of the things that I remember reading on some of the articles that I came across was one of the challenges the ACU is going to have on their side is the way they pushed this bill through their system. It was done very shadily. If I remember correctly, it was my understanding that they did not put through their process the way they actually do it. Like there's a certain point where they have to put the bill in a position where the public can weigh in on it. And like they completely skipped that step. And then they did one of those late night 3 a.m. rush jobs to vote this in when nobody was present for like the vote. Like they did it in like the one of the dumbest ways possible. So that might help fight against it as well, which goes to your point, Jess, of that they're just trying to push as hard as they can, as fast as they can. And when you consider all this stuff is running smack into the midterm, they're going to do everything they can to disenfranchise as much as they can. And of course, the Epstein files, because all of this ties into that in the end, I'm pretty sure.
What doesn't? Yeah. Chat, what do you think? If you have opinions, stuff you want to talk about, throw it in the chat.
Well, actually, yeah. I'm cut you off there on that one. I was chatting with Bree about this last night. And one of the interesting things about this bill is there might be a weird way for intersex people to weasel around with this bill because of how they wrote it. They actually They have in here when they describe a female as an individual whose biological reproductive system is developed to produce ova. And then they develop, they have this term for the male and all that stuff. But then they have here an individual born with a medically verifiable diagnosis of disorder differences in sex development shall be provided legal protections and accommodations afforded under the American with Disability Act and applicable Kansas statute. That would fall for people who have a diagnosed intersex condition. So you can't bar them from the bathroom that works with the preference of their gender because they have a diagnosed medical condition. You will run into the exact same problems. That you have with trans people then, no matter what. You didn't solve anything because you still have a group of people here that you can't account for correctly.
I just think it's wild that there's just continued grasping for straws. What ways can we be cruel to trans people this week, this day? And I know it's been that way for a while, but it's really pushing the envelope right now. Like you said, because midterms, how can we weasel our way into distributing as much cruelty as we can before we either leave and get voted out or ensure that we have time to manipulate the system again and disenfranchise voters. So, which is doing both at the same time.
Definitely.
Heavy shit. And
from what I was reading from the NPR article that I was catching up, it seemed, you know, what I started to wonder when I was reading about how it was mentioning a few other states that already have what Kansas had before this bill, which is they already have blocked trans people from being able to change their gender markers on their license. Like currently they might have in the past, but like right now they cannot. And those, it was like five states. I know it was like Tennessee was one of them. Texas was one of them. I don't remember all, but the ones that are not surprising, you know? And it almost had me think of usually it would be like, depending on what happens, it's like those states are kind of like a step away from this. So it may be that whether, you know, it's one of those, like it could possibly give people ideas, right? Even before the midterms to like rush some of this, depending on what happens. I feel like, I see Bree, I don't know if you want to add
sunscreen
this,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bree Moonfire, we just talked about you, Bree. I also wonder if it works if you have a diagnosed gender dysphoria. So I know that most trans folks to get the HRT they need, including myself, are diagnosed with gender dysphoria, which is, I don't know if that would count. What do you think, Eve?
You know, I think when I got my gender on my license changed, I think that was part of it, if I remember right. I know different states have different requirements, but I feel like that was actually part of, like, because I had to get, it was not very hard to do it here, which was really great, especially even being a state in the South. But I had to get a letter from a doctor. I'm pretty sure that was like pretty much what the letter had to say, you know? And plus Same. Some, yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if that was any part of the Kansas requirements, or if that may be, Bree, to your point, a point of saying like, hey, this is a medical condition. Because it already actually does kind of give a little bit of legal backing to have that.
I don't think a gender dysphoria diagnosis specifically will work in Kansas. They are clear that it says a disorder difference in sex development. So okay. They're very, very, very specific towards the medical condition, the physical. I presume the medical.
You could only have this one specific medical condition.
Yeah, like it could be something such like vaginal agenesis or some other kind of actual problem with the body, I would presume. I would say problem. That's the incorrect term. But developmental issue, you know, with the human body. But
yeah, there's like there's something about like. I don't remember the name of, I know it's like gonad. I remember there are some different like medical terms for several of the different conditions that can lead to someone kind of being classified as intersex.
They were smart enough to leave off chromosomal differences, because if they did that, they'd open themselves up to a huge can of worms.
Yes. Yes. To Ash Lynn Lee's point. Show on stream work. There are many different types of intersex conditions. So it's not like just one catch-all thing. You know, there's a lot of different conditions there. And Bree says, at least 17 recognized so far.
Mm-hmm.
For chromosomes or for conditions? Spelling. I believe that number's actually higher. I think it's like 24 to 30.
Oh, wow.
For chromosomes. But either way, 17, 24, it doesn't matter. There's more than two people. That's the takeaway there. It's bimodal, not binary. Very distinct difference between those two words.
Anyway, my heart truly goes out to the trans residents of Kansas. And I know every time we see these things happen in specific states, and it's not just because it happens in one state. It's not as simple as, hey, get out of that state. Because all the red states are following suit. Additionally, understand how much effort and how many resources it takes to actually move between states, let alone through multiple red states to another blue state. I mean, yes, if you can do that, I applaud you. Absolutely. But I am seeing a lot of rhetoric saying like, yeah, screw Kansas. It's like, okay, maybe screw the government officials that made these choices, but the people of Kansas need your help. And they're still stuck there. And they're stuck there without being able to drive and without being able to go and like do the things they need to do that use the valid IDs.
Well, that's another part of it too, is it's one thing to say up and move. That'd be great. Awesome. But if you are in Kansas and this affected you, you still have to rectify the driver's license issue because most states, when you move, have a 90-day limit. I know for Massachusetts, it was like 90 days to change your ID. You can't change your ID to the new state without a valid ID from the previous one. Yeah. Since the Kansas ones are rendered invalid, you can't get a new one anywhere as you go. It kind of traps a person in Kansas. That's terrible on its own.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like how the U.S. tried to, trapped trans folks in the U.S. by being like, hey, your passports aren't valid. So we're seeing this, we're already seeing these recycled actions that were done by, like, the shitty part is that we're, like, yay, we're seeing really incompetent people at the federal level try to enact these things. But the people at the state level are seeing it and going, I'm a little bit smarter than you are. I can make this work for our state. And so they're enacting it on the state level. So whatever we're seeing between red states and the current red government, I mean, they're all sharing the same hive mind right now. It's all from Project 2025 from the Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. Everything is built on that. Everything we're seeing happening, and there's cohesive networking between these folks that are making all of these steps happen to convert us into a fully radical conservative nation state. So soapbox ended.
Two, one's a half positive. One is a positive, sort of, because capitalism is there, but at the same time, it's not. I don't know. Kansas, to get a new driver's license, it is only $30. Not a huge sum of money. I understand people's budgets are tight, but a new driver's license with this change would cost $30. Fairly affordable, I would imagine, for many people. So there's that.
The copper lining.
Yeah, it's copper lining. And another copper lining, as you could say, is Lyft, the rideshare company, is offering a 50% discount to trans people to help get them to the driver, to get them to the DMV.
They're limited up to $10 per person.
Yeah, it's, I mean, pro, it's a discount, it's something. Con, capitalism, like,
let's benefit from,
yeah,
from the cruelty. Let's be realistic.
People will be using rideshare to get to to get to the DMVs, and it's going to cost some people, I would imagine, a lot of money depending on how far away the closest one is.
Yeah.
So having that discount is a help. It's something. Like, if you look at it from a perspective of you were going to pay no matter what, at least you got a coupon. I don't know. It's something. There's no good news here, realistically.
Yeah.
No, there's no good news.
No.
There's no good news. It's also, I think, a big question, and certainly also, yeah, also echoing what, you know, River said, just like absolutely going, you know, heart going out to people there, because it's got to be incredibly scary, especially for, you know, some of the people that maybe didn't get the letter. Like, that's the thing, is like, not everybody got the letter.
It was overnight.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah. It was, yeah, like, it was overnight. It's
yeah, but
ridiculous.
Also, like, what do you do if you haven't gotten the letter? You know, you're going to go self-announce, or are you going to wait and see if you get the fucking letter? You know, because I don't know. Yeah. I would wait.
Yeah.
Personally,
it's like, do I risk it? Like, know? Was I supposed to get it? And I just sent the wrong address.
Well, because this is the other piece of this.
I mean, I'm driving.
There are so many layers of this, but there, you know, this is another list. Like, this is another, like, they are like verifying that people are trans through this and putting them on a list.
Yep.
Because if by mistake any cis people get this, they will fix it, guaranteed. Like,
100%.
So they are, you know, so that's also like, just, yeah, another level of like how messed up this is. And also, if you're a trans person in Kansas who hasn't gotten the letter and you're going to wait, that's still incredibly fucking terrifying, right? Because you have been, you know, you have been deemed a criminal by the state. Like, all of a sudden, this is like, you get into like, this is basically a state of fugitivity, is like, because you are actually like at that point evading. It's like one of those, it's like, you know, I could just imagine, like, I would be like, okay, what am I like, should I like try to be stealth now? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, because it's like, it's very, it's just very psychologically damaging all around.
And then if we talk about the actual outcome they're going for with this, think about what happens if you have an ID. One thing we're talking about, we've talked about this earlier, I think in last year. What do you think happens when you have an ID that does not match your gender, does not match who you are? And I don't know if they're going as far as the names. I don't think they are, but imagine all of the uncomfortable situations that some folks might be having. Imagine all of the violence that potentially they're forced to put themselves into every time they have to use their ID for anything that involves scrutiny of looking at their ID without like a quick scan or something. You know, it's going to cause a lot of issues and a lot of potential violence and a lot of discrimination and a lot of trans people making choices of, do I become a hermit or do I risk it, risk a hate crime today and walk out the door?
It's going to cause
ID.
A lot of people. Yep. To stay home. It's going to keep a lot. It encourages people, trans people, to not exist in public.
Yes. And that's the whole point.
And that's the whole fucking point.
Yep.
They did allow for an affirmative defense to this law, basically saying I'm from out of state and I didn't know type things could work. If you had a reason to go into Kansas, you got stopped for whatever reason, you get caught. But you still have to go through the legal process of dealing with that. But
I keep going back to, that number of people that this impacts, like the amount of effort and labor that was put into getting this law into place, just to impact this such a small portion of that, but I still can't wrap my head around that. It doesn't make
you like the number.
But I think it's not, I would like the number, but I think it's not, it's really, yeah. That's really not.
Oh, it's not relevant, but I do have it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that's their point.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's like, anyone that doesn't fit our mold.
It's for the strategy, you know? It's for the strategy.
Yeah.
It's for the midterms. It's for the base. It's for, you know, it's for all of those things. It's for the other states to like throw more shit at the wall.
Yep.
And like,
it's testing ground.
It's, you know, it's all of that. It's, you know, because, and it's not really like, I mean, even it is true that like it is true that it very much has the possibility of disenfranchising trans people as voters. And of course, as a trans person who thinks it's really important to vote, I don't want to be disenfranchised. At the same time, like, I don't think that there's not like, we're not that big of a group. Like, we ain't swaying elections, y'all. Like, that's part of our fucking problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that that's a side effect of it, that they're like, oh, that's great. They also can't vote. Great. But it's like more about all of the rest of it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Done screen here.
Yeah.
You put on in our chat, so we put on screen.
Oh, that's the 2025, by the way. O25.
Yeah. You want to read that out loud?
2,977,220 people is the population in Kansas of the 2025 census. Of that, 0.75% estimate are trans. So 22,000 people. That's the rough estimate.
22,000?
That's it. The total LGBT population is about not quite 3.5%, about 98,000.
Out of millions of people.
You said the percentage you used was 0.75%.
Mm-hmm.
Like 0.75%.
Mm-hmm. Fraction of a fraction.
It still seems like a lot of people, but it's also like, okay, if there's actually 22,000 trans people in Kansas, then that's a lot different than that number of 300 that got the letter. Of course, like, not all of them will have changed their life. You know, I mean, there's a lot of like,
yeah,
you know, but my point is also like, I don't know. I think it's just really interesting to me. It's not that 300 people got the letter, not in the way that like, oh, they only did this for 300 people, but just that like, that's all they could come up with. Like, that's all that they could be like, well, we know that these 300 people are trans. We think that maybe 20,000 people are trans here, but we know these 300, you know?
Yep.
The other weird thing about this bill, too, is that government facilities that don't comply with this law, there is a fine in place. Because I've seen some YouTubers and some other social media people talk about this. They're saying, oh, it's a $125,000 fine if you don't comply. It only applies to government entities. And day one of the fine is $25,000. And then it's $125,000 every day afterwards, which is weird to me because you're a government facility. You're the government telling yourself, the government municipalities, you have to comply. And if you don't, you have to pay us. So the government that gave you your funds wants you to pay those funds back. You're punching yourself in the face to give yourself your money back.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I feel like it's probably a way to actually, once again, use taxes in a way that are not in line with voters.
Sounds like a money laundering scheme.
With constituents. It kind of does, actually. It kind of does. If you're fining yourself, just pay yourself.
Yeah.
Where's that money going to come from? Taxes.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a money laundering scheme at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to fine ourselves money? How does that work? That came out of your budget to begin with.
Well, it's the same thing with Trump trying to like pay himself like or like pay a fine or something from his like president money, or there's some weird thing that happened with him recently.
$10 billion to the Board of Peace.
Yes.
Board of Peace, that's kind of fucking around in the Middle East right now.
Board of Peace.
Yes, that was the other thing. But I think before we
save it for the next episode, I think.
Yeah. Yes. I did wanna circle back on something that you said earlier, Rib, which is just that and this is, you know, as the Southerner, I have to bring this up. The point that you made about like, well, just screw Kansas, you know, that always happens. And like, I guess it's just like, it's easy, you know, like if some shit happens in a conservative state, whether it's a disaster, you know, like a tornado or a hurricane that has nothing to do with the government or the people, or something like this, that people are just like, they deserve it. They suck, you know, and like, it's just so lazy and it's so easy, you know, it's and so stupid. Like, there is no reason that people deserve to suffer ever, you know, right. Like it's just, you know, and I just feel really, really strongly that also that like, I get it that like, you know, there was the thing that came out that, what was it, about 400,000 people have moved domestically, trans folks, from, mm-hmm. you know, from one state to another to try to a lot of times get away from more conservative areas, which totally makes sense. And of course, I like 100% support anybody moving if they want to, or they can, or they, you know,
Pacific Northwest, it's great. Come out here.
Yeah. Or like, whatever, like, that's awesome. Like, and like, I also feel really strongly that like, people also need to be able to, like, people deserve to be able to stay also. Like, it is not like, just, you know, like having that perspective is, especially for somebody who is like when somebody gives me that perspective, I get really offended, like personally, because I'm like, yo, like I'm from here. Like I have roots here, you know, like I don't want to leave. And it's just not, you know, to just be like so dismissive of it. It's also just like, I shouldn't have to leave, you know, even if I yeah. could leave, like I shouldn't have to leave, like just because I'm trans. And like, it's so anyway, that's yeah. my soapbox on that.
We've talked about that now too, in your, on your first episode on the show, about like, I shouldn't have to leave. I put in the work here to build a life here. Yeah. And it's kind of, it reminds me a little bit of like a Captain America quote where it's like, no, you move. You put your roots of the, like next to the tree, the truth or something like that, next to a mighty river, and you say, no, you move. There's something, I'm paraphrasing, but it does feel like that sometimes, because you have to weigh the options of, do I hunker down? Do I ride this out and see what happens? Does this go away? Is this a permanent thing? Do I need to actually consider moving, or do I go now and feel less stressed but still uproot my entire life and give up everything? And there's no like wrong or right answer. It's just what makes sense for you and your family and your situation. And it's a very privileged thing too, to be able to get up and move states, or yes, move at all in general, because not only do you have to have, you know, a fucking like security deposit and pet rent and all of this shit available and like additional deposits now for things, moving or renting a U-Haul or hiring people to move, because if you're disabled, how are you going to move yourself? Or if you're only one person, how are you going to move yourself? What are you going to abandon? I know multiple people who have come out to Washington recently in the past year, and they've had to make those decisions, and it was not easy. So it's not just as easy as saying, screw Kansas. We need to understand there's nuance to that, and that the reason that these laws are in place are because the system has been manipulated and voter disenfranchisement has happened and propaganda has happened. Yeah. And I just realized something about going back to Eve's talking about the Board of Peace. I think I realized something. Why it's so ironic they're called the Board of Peace. It's not actually ironic. We're just spelling it wrong. It's B-O-R-E-D. They're Board of Peace.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. That must have just been my English comprehension there.
You want a positive piece of news, though, that I came across the other day?
Hit me with it.
So everyone's favorite Department of Defense, it's not war, Department of Defense Commandant Herr Hegseth. He had this whole thing about the Scouts of America ain't gonna have trans folks no more, and they're gonna save the organization. The CEO, Roger Crone, has come out and said, quote, "We have transgendered people in our programs, and we'll have transgendered people in our program going forward." So the Scouts of America, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they are going to continue to be on our side. So that's a positive for trans kids.
Hear, hear. Well, thanks, Scouts.
Hear, hear.
And with that, I think it's a great time to take a break. Do we want to stretch our legs? Do we want to refresh our coffees. I don't have enough to make more coffee, and it's already all gone.
Black
but tea. I am still a disaster bisexual. Cool. I will play us out.
Do
and
it.
We will see y'all next episode. Thanks for joining us. In my next episode, if you're watching the stream, I mean, in like 5 to 10 minutes, it's going to be great. We'll be on camera probably, most likely, but we're going to be just fucking around. So bye-bye now. It's not doing
I'm ready to stomach the word.